We want to continue in our study of the book of Proverbs. Solomon wrote some 3,000 Proverbs. Not all of them are recorded in the Bible. But in the first chapter, he tells us the purpose of the Proverbs, and that's a method by which a person might be instructed in the way of wisdom, in the way of righteousness, judgment, equity, to bring knowledge and discretion. And so as we get into chapter 10, we actually get into the Proverbs of Solomon. Up to that, he's been talking of the value and the importance of wisdom, of understanding, of righteousness. And now he gives us the Proverbs, in which he is extolling still the importance of righteousness, the importance of diligence, the importance of wisdom. And so he gives to us these Proverbs generally in the form of contrast. The first proverb of chapter 12, he is contrasting the person who loves instruction with the person who hates reproof. There are some people that are open to instruction. They're doing something wrong, and you say, "Amen, you're doing that wrong, you know. You ought to be doing it this way." "Oh, thanks. Yeah, I was worried about that, you know." And they love instruction. There are others who hate reproof. "Leave me alone. I know what I'm doing, you know." And they hate reproof. So whoever loves instruction loves knowledge. But he that hates reproof is brutish. Contrast the good man with the wicked man in the second proverb. A good man obtains favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will be condemned by the Lord. So, good and evil, they are in constant contrast. I have the choice to live a good life, or I have the choice to live a wicked life if I so desire. And it is tragic that some people have chosen to live a wicked life. But if you have, know this: you're going to be condemned by God. The good man will obtain favor of the Lord, but the man of wicked devices, condemnation. Again, the contrast of the wicked and the righteous: a man shall not be established by wickedness. Now, that is a permanent kind of a thing. Wickedness, you might prosper for a while. You might seem to be very successful for a while, but it will catch up with you. You can't be established by wickedness. You're building on a foundation of sand. When the storm comes, it's going to crumble, the whole structure that you have built. You can't be established on wickedness. But the root of the righteous shall not be removed. You've been rooted in righteousness, and thus you'll stand. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. He's going to have quite a bit to say about the virtuous woman in a later Proverbs. He's also going to have much to say about cantankerous women too. A virtuous woman, who can find her? He said her price is far above rare rubies. And then he describes the characteristics of a virtuous woman, and her children will rise up ultimately and call her blessed. It's been my delight to buy my wife a ruby ring, ruby necklace, in acknowledgement of her virtuousness, a virtuous woman. So that's the kind of jewels I like to buy my daughters and my granddaughters. And when I buy them any kind of jewelry, it's always rubies because of the virtuous woman. Her price is far above rare rubies. And so, but she that maketh ashamed is like rottenness to his bones. So the contrast between the virtuous woman and the one that makes ashamed. The thoughts of the righteous are right. That seems to be very logical, doesn't it? But the counsels of the wicked are deceitful. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood. But the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. That is, deliver them from those who would lie in wait. The wicked are overthrown and are not. They come to an end. But the house of the righteous shall stand. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom. But he that is of a perverse heart shall be deceived. So wisdom contrasted with the perverse heart. He shall be despised. You do despise a person with a diverse heart. However, the man who has wisdom is always esteemed, commended. Now, this is just an interesting proverb, and there's a lot of truth to it. He that is despised and has a servant is better than he who honors himself but is lacking bread. A man goes around in a lot of pride and all, but he really is lacking bread, is worse off than the guy who is despised, but at least he has a servant. A righteous man regards the life of his beast. It speaks about, really, a person who is a righteous person is kind towards animals. He considers them as God's creation. You see, a guy who's mean and cruel to an animal is not really a righteous man. A righteous man regards the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. Even the best of the wicked is bad, is what he is saying. The tender mercies, which would be the best characteristic of the wicked, they are cruel. When you get to the cruel aspects of the wicked, they're totally cruel. The contrast of the diligent again with the lazy, he that tilleth his land, the fellow who goes out and plows, shall be satisfied with bread. But he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. The wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. Now we saw that the righteous will stand, and they will be rooted, they will not be moved, the root of the righteous will not be moved, and here the root of the righteous will bear fruit, where the wicked desires to trap others. But the wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. Now the wicked and the just. Now what it is saying is that the wicked man gets trapped by his own words. It's so often a person has, in bragging about his sin, been caught. There was a fellow who had gotten into our agape box here at Calvary Chapel a while back, and he stole it. He just carried the thing off, and the police called us, and it was dumped off for the freeway up here a ways. And he broke the thing open, looked like with a axe or something, or a sledgehammer, and took the money, and the checks were still there. So the police called us, and they'd picked up the checks and the remains of the agape box. Well, a few months ago, there was a backslidden Christian from the church, a lady who was over at the Crazy Horse sitting at the bar. And as she was sitting there at the bar, she heard this guy bragging about how he had stolen the offering box from Calvary Chapel. So she slipped out, called the police, and of course they already had the report filed, so the guy was caught. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his own lips, you know. So you start bragging about your evil, man, and you get caught. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. Now, the wicked are snared by the transgression of their lips. But a man shall be satisfied with the good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. The work that you do will bring you a reward. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes. Have you ever seen that? But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. And then still, a fool's wrath is presently known. It's talking about a guy who is short-tempered. Fool's wrath is presently known. I mean, you know, he makes no discretion, no attempt to cover. He just blows off at the mouth without even thinking. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame, keeps it quiet. He that speaks truth shows forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. So the contrast between the person who speaks truth and the person who lies. There is that which speaks like the piercing of the sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Now this, of course, is something that we've all observed. By your words, you can cut a person to pieces. There are some words that just cut like a sword. People use their tongues like a sword to cut others to pieces. The power of the word, the spoken word, to another person. You can just cut them to pieces with your words, or the power to heal. A person who is discouraged, a person who is broken, words can be such healing balm to them. By your words, you can bring healing, you can bring comfort, you can bring encouragement. How important it is that as we speak to others, we speak those words that will edify, that will heal, rather than words that cut and destroy. The lip of truth shall be established forever. Truth will stand. It'll endure. But a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil. But to the counselors of peace there is joy. And there shall no evil happen to the just. Now, that's a difficult proverb to comprehend, because we have seen evil happen to the just. But what he is referring to is the long-term effect. If I am just, if I walk before the Lord in faith, what appears to be evil at the moment, God will use for good. God will turn it around for my good. So oftentimes we say, well, you know, there is no evil for the just, but look what's happened to him. But wait. You see, again, we're guilty of judging the story before we get to the final chapter, before we see the full cycle. At this point of time, it looks like it's horrible. At this point of time, I can't understand it. At this point of time, I'm prone to complain and challenge God. But when it goes full cycle and I see the end result, I say, oh, isn't the Lord wise? Look what the Lord did. Now, I really thought that this was disaster. But the Lord turned the thing around, and the Lord, and you know, and you see the full cycle, and thus when it comes full cycle in the final analysis, nothing happens to me but what God does not allow it to happen. And if God allows it to happen, there is a good purpose for me in it, or else God wouldn't allow it. And so God watches over the just, and no evil shall happen to the just. But the wicked shall be filled with mischief. This next one is one that I've had quoted to me when I was growing up as a child. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. You know, sometimes you try to lie your way out of a situation. Then you're caught, and then they quoted to me this proverb, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. But they that speak the truth are his delight. The Lord delights in your speaking the truth. Now, again, you see, God wants a person to speak the truth rather than to lie. So God says lying is wrong, speaking the truth is right. Now, do you agree with that or not? You know, the Bible really extols what is good, what is right. And in the declaring what is right, it says the truth is right. You should tell the truth. Telling a lie is wrong. Now, you don't really get that naturally, do you? You have to be taught that. Why? Because by nature I'm a sinner. And so you don't have to teach your little kid to lie. Did you eat that cookie? No, I didn't eat that cookie. And here are crumbs all over his mouth, you know. And so you have to sit down and teach them that it's important to tell the truth. You should never tell a lie. Lying seems to come very naturally. But the Bible tells us that we should speak the truth to all men. Lying lips are an abomination. The prudent man, the wise man, is contrasted with the fool again. The prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of the fools proclaimeth foolishness. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, the heavy heart. But a good word maketh it glad. So the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. And then the lazy man, the slothful man, doesn't roast what he took in hunting. You go out and kill, but you don't even cook it, you know, you don't roast it. But the substance of the diligent man is precious. So the lazy with the diligent. The way of the righteous is life. And the contrasting again of righteousness and wickedness, but this one is not a contrast, it's just the declaration now, sort of a summation of this series of Proverbs in which he's been contrasting righteousness with wickedness. And in the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. The path of righteousness is the path of eternal life. In that path, there is no death. Death from a scriptural standpoint, no separation from God. Now in chapter 13, he is contrasting the wise son with a scornful son. The wise son will hear his father's instruction, but a scorner will not hear rebuke. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. And he that keepeth his mouth, Solomon has a lot to say about just keeping quiet. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. The lazy man, the sluggard, the soul of the sluggard desires, but he has nothing. He just lies there wishing I had everything, you know. But he won't go out and work, so he has nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. The righteous man hates lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and he will come to shame. Righteousness will keep him that is upright in the way, but the wickedness overthroweth the sinner. So righteousness, wickedness, these contrasts, and they are each one worthy of meditation. We don't have time to meditate on them. I encourage you to that on your own leisure. Now, the seventh here is there is that which makes himself rich and yet he has nothing. There is that which makes himself poor and yet he has great riches. Paradoxes. Jesus said much the same thing when he said, he who seeks to save his life will lose it. But he who will lose his life for my sake shall find it. There are those who hold on to everything they have. They seek riches. They seek to make themselves rich, and yet they are very poor. And yet there are those who are generous. They give. They may not have much for themselves, but oh, are they rich. The richness of giving, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And the riches that you experience by giving. And so those that seek to make themselves rich, having nothing. Those that make themselves poor by their generosity, and yet they have great riches. The thing is, you cannot outgive God. It's just, God won't allow it. He will never be a debtor to you. The ransom of a man's life are his riches. but the poor heareth not rebuke. I don't quite catch the contrast that he's bringing there. The light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked will be put out. So righteousness and wicked again. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Pride always brings contention. It brings fighting. It brings this competition. It brings a lot of evil. With pride comes contention. You can't be proud without being contentious. It's one of the marks of pride. And wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. It would be interesting to poll those who won the lottery in the first year. Now, that's wealth gotten by vanity. It's wealth that you got you didn't work for. You just sort of, you know, lucked into it with the spin of the wheel or whatever. And wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. There's proof of that every day driving home from Las Vegas. They may have, you know, hit the jackpot, but before they leave, it'll all be back in the pot, you know. Wealth gotten by vanity will be diminished. But he that gathereth by labor shall increase. You appreciate it when you work for it. Something that you work for, you really appreciate. Hope deferred. And hope deferred is always a very tragic thing. It maketh the heart sick. You're hoping that it'll come through, you know, and you go down to collect and they say, oh, we're sorry, it's not here. It'll probably be another couple of weeks. And it makes your heart sick. Hope deferred. But when the desire comes, oh, it's like a tree of life. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. I believe this is a reference to the word of God because it speaks in contrast the commandments, or it actually not in contrast. Well, it is in contrast, but he that feareth the commandment. But if you despise the word, you'll be destroyed. The word of God is life. But those who fear the commandments of God, they shall be rewarded. That is fear in the sense of reverencing, obeying, or keeping the commandments of God. The law of the wise is like a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Now, a good understanding gives favor, but the way of the transgressors is hard. If you transgress against God's law, it will catch up with you. The Bible said you can be sure your sins will find you out. Now, Satan is constantly deceiving people and saying to people much what he said to Eve, God is trying to hold you back from something that is exciting and something that is delicious and something that is desirable, something that is pleasant, something that is good. And God isn't fair in forbidding you to do those things because those things will make you happy. They will bring you pleasure. They will bring you excitement. And God is just trying to quench your good time and quench you from having a lot of fun. No, God is trying to keep you from having a lot of sorrow. For the end result of those transgressions will be bitter. They may be sweet in your mouth, but when you go to digest them, they're going to upset your stomach. They'll be bitter in your stomach. The consequences of transgressing the law of God are hard. You may get by for a while, and some people do. And because they get by with their transgressions, they begin to think that God doesn't know, or God doesn't see, or God doesn't care, or it doesn't really matter with God. Or worse, some even begin to believe that God approves. But down the road, you'll discover that the way of the transgressor is hard. When sin begins to take its toll on your body, on your life, on your family, on everything that is meaningful to you, you'll find the way of the transgressor is hard. If you could just sit in our office and see men sobbing, convulsively sobbing over the grief that they are going through. Because they decided to have a fling. And it was, you know, a flirtation. It was fun. It was a escapade. It was exciting, but the wife found the lipstick on the collar and began to examine, found out what was going on, and she went to an attorney and filed for divorce. And now this little cutie that he was playing around with is not anything that he really wanted. And he sees his children as they're crying every time he has to say goodbye. And they're clinging and saying, "Daddy, please don't go." But his wife won't have anything to do with him. And he wants her back, and he's sorry. The way of the transgressor is hard. It's painful. It hurts. Ultimately, it will get you. You think that you're getting by with sin. You're not getting by with sin. It'll catch up with you. And the way of the transgressor is hard. Now every prudent or wise man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. A wicked messenger falls into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is help. The wicked messenger gets into mischief. Poverty and shame shall be to him who refuses instruction. You won't listen? You'll end up in poverty and shame. But he who regards reproof shall be honored. The desire that is accomplished is sweet to the soul. Isn't that the truth? You have a desire and you finally accomplish it, and it's just sweet to the soul. It's just good. You just enjoy it. My little granddaughter has been after me for a long time to build her a playhouse. She wanted a two-story playhouse. With a balcony. And so I've been taking my days off for several months now, building a two-story playhouse with a balcony. And I applied the final coat of paint on the outside the other day. Built this little dream house for my little granddaughter. Her mother wanted a playhouse. I never got to it. Her aunt wanted a playhouse. I never got to that. So I told her mother and her aunt, this is the playhouse that you girls never received. But now, looking at it, all I've got to do now is carpet it. That's this week. Hey, this little gal's worth it. It's her playhouse. And I'll tell you, to stand there and have her just hold my hand and say, oh, Grandpa, it's beautiful. Oh, Grandpa, you know, oh, hey, it's worth it. And the desire that is accomplished is so sweet to the soul, so satisfying when you complete the project. But it is an abomination for fools to depart from evil. They're just locked into evil. Now, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. You want to be wise? Get around wise men. Walk with wise men. But a companion of the fools, hey, you'll be destroyed. Evil pursues sinners. You can be sure your sins will find you out. You're pursued by wild beast. Evil pursues sinners, but to the righteous, good shall be recompensed, repaid. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. That's what I'm doing, leaving for my children's children this inheritance, this little two-story house. The interesting verse here, the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment. So a lot of food in the plowing of the poor, and yet so much of it is destroyed many times for lack of judgment. You know, we did send a lot of relief to India. A lot of grains, wheat, rice, and so forth. And yet the people starved to death. It wasn't because there was the lack of food. There had been plenty of food sent. But with their Hindu beliefs that the rats may be some ancestor and they wouldn't kill the rats ate the food or, you know, got into it. The people were starving to death while there was food that was there. So the lack of judgment, the supplies are destroyed. He that spares his rod, I used to hate this one, hates his son. But he who loves his son will chasten him often. Solomon's father was a very poor disciplinarian. He rarely corrected his sons. And as a result, some of them went bad, very bad. And so Solomon will have more to say about importance of not sparing the rod. There's another proverb, if you spare the rod, you'll spoil the child. Spare the rod and spoil the child. proverb says. Now, my son thought that was a command, and when I went to spank him once, he said, "Dad, that's not scriptural. The scripture says, spare the rod and spoil the child." I'm afraid that's the way some of us look at some of the scriptures. The righteous eats and is satisfied, but the belly of the wicked shall always want. Isn't it interesting how that a person, it seems, is never satisfied with material things? There's always a want, no matter how much you have. Again, we mentioned Millikan this morning, and I can't get over that. He made over $100 million a year, and yet he began to manipulate stocks so he could make more. There's never any area of satisfaction in wickedness. You never get to the place where you say, "Well, I'm satisfied. I've got enough. I'll just sit back and enjoy." The more you get, the more you seem to want. And yet, with the righteous, he eats to the satisfying of his own soul. The life of righteousness is a life of contentment, a life of satisfaction and peace. Now to the women. Every wise woman builds her house, but the foolish plucks it down with her hands. A wise woman builds her house, watches over the family, cares for the children. Actually, ladies, the Friday morning Bible studies began with this proverb. Kay was reading this proverb, and this is the one that sort of spurred her into starting the Friday morning studies years ago. As she sought to share her experiences as a mother with the younger girls in the church, the children were all grown and raised, and Kay began to have a little more time. And Paul said the older women should teach the younger women how to keep their home, love their husbands and all. And so this proverb, "The wise woman buildeth her own house," was actually the first scripture she taught from in the Friday morning studies, which started in a home until the police department kicked them out because so many people were coming. But wise women building their homes. It takes wisdom. "He that walks in his uprightness fears the Lord." If you're really upright, you'll have a respect, a fear, a reverence for God. But the perverse in their ways despise the Lord. So you can tell if a man is righteous or perverse in his attitude towards the Lord. One will reverence the Lord, love the Lord, the other hates the Lord. "In the mouth of the foolish is the rod of pride, but the lips of the wise will preserve him." Here's an interesting proverb. "Where no oxen are, the crib is clean." That is, the barn is very clean if you don't have any ox. You know, you don't want to clean the barn, no ox. But much increase is by the strength of the ox. So if you want to have anything, you better have an ox and, you know, clean it up, I mean, afterwards. But where there is no oxen, the crib is clean, but yet you don't have much. With the ox, there's much increase by his strength. You use him to plow and all. "A faithful witness will not lie." Now, again, that's very obvious. "But a false witness will utter lies. A scorner seeks wisdom, but doesn't find it. But knowledge is easy to him that understandeth." Used to be, going to school, I found school very easy. And I would come out having taken a test in a particular class, and the kids that were going into class would say, "Is the test hard?" And I'd say, "No, not if you know the answers." And you ever notice if you know the answers, the test isn't hard at all? It's a very simple test if you know the answers. If you don't know the answers, yeah, I guess it could be rather hard. All depends on whether or not you know the answers. So it's hard to say whether or not a test was hard. It all depends on did you know the answers or not. And that's basically knowledge is easy to him who understands. You know, simple test. Because you knew the answers. Now, here's just instruction, just good instruction. Go from the presence of a foolish man when you perceive not in him the lips of knowledge. When a guy is just, you know, uttering foolishness and you perceive, hey, this guy is just dumb, stupid, just leave, you know. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. A wise man will seek to understand the way. But the folly of fools is deceit. For fools mock at sin. Have you ever heard a person mock at sin? Oh, I'm a sinner, you know. And they say it in a mocking way. But among the righteous, there is favor. Now, the heart knows his own bitterness. No one knows what you feel like you yourself. Even the closest person to you doesn't really understand many times the grief or the sorrow that you feel. There's another proverb that says, no one knows how the shoe pinches but the man who wears it. And so no one really knows many times that the sorrow that you're feeling inside. And the stranger does not intermeddle with his joy. Again, they don't understand the joys or the feelings that you have, the bitterness or the joys. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown. The foolish man built his house upon the sand and it crumbled. But the tent of the upright shall flourish. Now, if you're righteous, upright, hey, your tent will flourish, but the house of the wicked will crumble. And then this important proverb, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Take a look at the path that you're on. Where is it leading you? What is the end of the path? The wise man will always look down the road to see where it leads. And there is a way. There are a lot of people today who are living in deceit. They are deceiving themselves. A way that seems right to them, but the end thereof is death. You see, if you are living by some philosophy that seems right to you, the end of that path is death. There is only one path that leads to life, and that's Jesus Christ. I am the way, he said. The path, the truth, the life. There is a way that seems right to men. And so there are people who believe that as long as you're good, you'll be all right. Or as long as you do the best that you can, God will accept your best. Or as long as you are sincere in your religious beliefs, God will accept your sincerity. Seems right to be sincere. Seems right to do your best. It seems right to live by the golden rule. And indeed it is. But it's not good enough to bring you into the kingdom of God. And if you're trusting in your own righteousness, you're trusting in a broken reed. It won't hold you. It's a broken crutch, and it'll cause you to fall. So it is so important that I look down the path that I've chosen. Is it a path of self-righteousness, my efforts, my goodness? Am I trusting in my efforts, or am I trusting in the work of Jesus Christ? There is a way that seems right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. Now, there are some people who seek to cover the sorrow with laughter. And a lot of people use laughter to cover the real feelings of sorrow. And the end, though, of that kind of mirth or happiness or laughter is heaviness. The backslider in heart, and that's where backsliding always begins. It begins in your heart. The backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways. But a good man shall be satisfied from himself. The simple believes every word. Have you ever met a person like that? They're so gullible. We had a pastor around here who was a real sweet guy, but he was gullible. And I felt sorry for him because these other pastors on staff were absolutely merciless with him. I mean, they'd come in and just tell these wild stories. He'd say, "No, really," you know. And they would just carry on with this guy. And I felt sorry for him because he was without guile. And he just would believe these guys. And boy, did they give him a bad time. But the prudent man looks well to his going. The wise man will examine things out. The wise man fears and departs from evil. A wise man will depart from evil, but the fool will rage, and he's confident he's going to get by. Now, he that is soon angry, short-tempered, deals foolishly. If you've got a short temper, quickly angry, you're dealing foolishly. And a man of wicked devices is hated. The simple will inherit folly, but the prudent or the wise are crowned with knowledge. The evil will bow before the good and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. The contrast are within it. The evil bow before the good, the wicked. The poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich has many friends. Whether or not they're true friends is something else. He that despises his neighbor sins, but that is his poor neighbor. But he who has mercy on the poor is happy. Do not err. Do not make a mistake here. Or do they not err, rather, who devise evil? And yes, but mercy and truth shall be to those who devise good. In all labor there is profit, but talk is cheap. It lends towards penury. It leads you to poverty. The labor, important of working. A lot of people can talk, and I met a lot of talkers, but they didn't have much. The crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is their folly. Wise and foolish. A true witness will deliver souls, but a deceitful witness speaks lies. The fear of the Lord is strong confidence. A man who walks in reverence of God walks with confidence, strong confidence. And his children shall have a place of safety. Oh, how important to live in that fear of the Lord. In the multitude of people is the king's honor, but in the want of people is the destruction of the prince. Saved by the multitude of people. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. Now we had the guy who was quick to wrath. He's a fool. Soon angry, deals foolishly. But he who is slow to wrath is of great understanding. And he that is hasty of spirit exalts folly. A sound heart is the life of the flesh. Interesting. Solomon was a biologist, wrote on the subject. And it is true that the heart, of course, is that pump that keeps the blood flowing through your body, and the life of the flesh is in the blood. The blood carries to the cells the nutrients that they need. It also carries to the cells the oxygen that it needs to for energy, to burn the oxygen. And thus the blood carries life to every part of your body. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and thus the heart, the pump that keeps the blood flowing, is the life of the flesh. But here is something, and it is also true and very interesting. But envy is the rottenness of the bones. Envy will rot your bones. Sound heart gives you life. Envy, it'll rot your bones. It's amazing how that our attitudes will produce good chemicals or bad chemicals into our bodies. Your body has several little chemistry labs that are creating chemicals that pour into your body under certain conditions. Fear. When you have a tremendous fright, there's a little chemical lab in your body that begins to produce adrenaline, and it pours the adrenaline into your system. And with that adrenaline in your system, man, you're really sort of wired. I mean, you can really run. You can really move with that adrenaline. And you really need to work that adrenaline out of your body. It can be damaging to you if you just lie down, you know, do nothing. That adrenaline is poured in your body to make you active, to give you the power to run and flight and so forth. And fear creates that. But each emotion creates chemicals in your body that are healthy for you or are bad for you. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Happiness. There was someone who wrote a book on laughing your way to health. This doctor, he wrote this book on what helpful chemicals are produced in your body when you laugh. And yet the destructive chemicals in your body when you're angry, when you're upset, when you're envious. All of these emotions create different chemicals that are put into your bloodstream that are beneficial to you or hurtful to you. Interesting. I have not read any scientific articles yet on the subject in the American Journal of Medicine, but I would imagine that if they would go ahead and take tests on a person who is envious, they'll discover that it creates a chemical that probably leads to bone cancer or something. It's rottenness to your bones. Now, if we live long enough, science will no doubt discover that someday, and yet here it is in the Bible, you know, for a long time. But they're not caught up with the Bible in every area yet. They're still, they've found out a lot of things, but they haven't found out everything yet. And they're still catching up. So what does that tell you? Don't be envious. He that oppresses the poor reproaches his maker. Now, it's interesting. God is interested in the poor, in the welfare of the poor. God made special laws to protect the poor. And Solomon, as rich as he was, also had an interest in the poor. And many of the Proverbs deal with the subject of reaching out, helping the poor. And this one is, of course, opposed to those who would oppress the poor. He who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker. And it is interesting that the poor are associated with God in the Proverbs. To oppress the poor is to reproach God, your maker. There's another proverb, we'll get to it. He who lendeth to the poor, lendeth to the Lord. Again, equating what you've done to the poor to what you do for God. Jesus said when he came back and brought the nations of the world for judgment, he will say unto them, I was hungry and you did not feed me. I was naked and you did not clothe me. I was sick and you did not visit me. And they will say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and didn't feed you? When did we see you naked and did not clothe you? And he said, inasmuch as you did it not unto the least of these my brethren, you did it not to me. Again, equating himself with those in need. And what you've done for those that are in need, you've actually done for the Lord. So he that lendeth to the poor, lendeth to the Lord. He who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker. But he that honoreth the poor, or he that honoreth him, him being God, his maker, has mercy on the poor. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous has hope even in his death. The wicked are like the chaff blown away, but the righteous will stand forever. And even in death, there's hope for the righteous. Wisdom rests in the heart of him that has understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. And then this is an extremely important scripture. I think that it should be written at the top of the Senate and the House of Representatives and on every one of their scratch pads. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Now, that can be proved historically. You can go back in history as far as you wish, and you will find this is always true. Righteousness will exalt a nation, but sin will be a reproach to any people. A nation that follows after righteousness is exalted. A nation that opens the door to sin will be destroyed. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causes shame. So, we come to the end of the Proverbs for tonight, and we start off with a very important proverb next week, one that you should put into practice. Try it out all week. See if it works. You'll have a chance, I'm sure. Every one of you will have a chance to use this next proverb before the week is over. A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Now, you can either bring peace to the situation or you can bring it to the boiling point. A soft answer will turn away the wrath. Try it. You know, after all, what's the use of wisdom if you don't use it? And in Proverbs, there's wisdom given to us. So let's put it into practice. Let's try just a soft answer rather than, you know, giving a nasty, mean retort. Just say, well, fine if that's the way you want, you know. Give it a try. For one who loves to expound Scripture, I find the Proverbs a little difficult because each one is sort of a whole in itself. And I like to take, you know, 6-7 verses and tie the things all together, and you know, and just with each verse, and the Proverbs are so set that there's not really much of a relationship between one and the next. They don't really tie together. He talks about so many different things, and they don't seem to be tied one to another that. The type of mind I have sets things out in logic and steps and so forth. And so I find going through the Proverbs not as exciting for me as when I get into areas where you've got the whole thing that you can dig through and unravel and, you know. But they're important and they're good, and it's truth that we need to know. So, you know, the wise will take heed and profit thereby, and the fools will forget and go stumbling on. So, may the Lord bless you. And may He help you to plant truth in your heart, to walk in the path of righteousness, in the fear of the Lord, departing from evil, that it might be well with you, that you might receive the blessings of God upon your life, and that you might walk in fellowship with Him. And so this week, may you experience the presence of the Lord and the blessings of God upon your life as you seek to walk in His pathway for His glory. In Jesus' name.